Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Get ready for Mind Shock with Dr. Ron Dalrymple. The premier podcast in the world, bringing you hidden truths about your mind's incredible powers. Get ready to free your mind.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Mind Shock. Dr. Ron Dalrymple. She will take you to the outer limits of your mind and to the inner limits, the true final frontier. My theme for this show is evolution of the supermind. The idea that we have something far greater inside us than we're normally aware of. My journey in life, my primary journey started eons ago, back when I was 17 years old. I started working at NASA. It was a great experience. Went to work with some people in the geoplanetology branch at Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, 7 miles away from the University of Maryland. I just started college. I was majoring in math and physics. It's a really great opportunity to, you know, rub elbows with these great scientists from all over the world. I was just a kid, 17 years old, fresh out of high school. Very idealistic and whatnot about science and so forth, and really amazed to be part of this worldwide effort put people in space and eventually upon the moon. It's really astounding. So it's a time of tremendous idealism and aspiration where, you know, how many thousands or even millions of people total in combined services were working together in this effort. It's a massive, massive effort. And how much it must have cost, how many people were involved all over the world to do the impossible. And to do the impossible, of course, we had to have a very pragmatic attitude. So what I learned at a very young age was to have high idealism, to go about it in a very pragmatic way. We make great things happen step by step. And after a couple of years in college and at NASA, I was taking, of course, like classes in math and physics and abstract thinking and so forth through math and physics. And I started taking classes in psychology as an elective to have interest. And I was astounded to see that some of the theories in psychology could be explained by mathematical concepts. And so one fateful night in November of 69, I was walking back to the dormitory where I lived and asked the question, what if the mind is an energy field which transcends the physical brain? I was hit by a tsunami of ideas, just overwhelming. The ideas that flooded through that, you know, explain all the current theories of psychology, plus far more, explain much of what could not be explained, which is often like brushed aside as being nonsensical in the world of three-dimensional science, but when you explore it more thoroughly, it actually makes a lot of sense. So at 19 years old, I discovered that the true final frontier is within us, not space, but within our own beings. So if the mind is energy that transcends the physical brain, then the true final frontier is inner space, the exploration of the true powers of mind and who we really are, what's our true identity. So what I found in college and most of the theories of the world and whatnot I come into, come across, just didn't make any sense. It didn't add up. There's far more to it. I was looking for answers. So our mission is to take you to true outer limits of inner space. So think about that, the outer limits of inner space. It's a great paradox. Today's chaotic world, there's a vast revolution sweeping the globe about who we are, what we are doing here. A mind revolution is changing everything. In fact, this revolution has been going on for millennia in spirals of growth and various setbacks, spirals of growth, where whole new theories of mind now turn old science on its head. Old science is three-dimensional and limited to the physical senses. Everyday stuff, you know, like up, down, and depth. You know, it's like three-dimensional thinking, which predominates the ego mind or the everyday mind. And old scientists, of course, don't like ideas which contradict their belief systems. They have their egos invested in their publications, their careers. Often they've built their entire lives upon certain theories, certain beliefs. They have certain publications out, they have their university positions based upon their publications. And it's very interesting, they're supposing their, some of their key ideas are just off, even a little bit. Just off center, off focus. They've missed the point as much as they don't capture. What they're talking about really is just a lot of spin. And the spin changes every year. In the world of science, just like religion, the ideas change. In fact, science is a religion to many people who believe in it adamantly from a particular scientific point of view because the ego gets invested. They believe very strongly what they want to believe. It's very interesting because folks often believe strongly what they believe and cannot be changed. It's hard to change somebody who believes something very strongly. So we've had a battle our whole lives trying to bring forth these new ideas. We've spoken often about there being two streams of development throughout human history. Some people follow the light or a higher path. Others follow more the darkness, the lower path. For those that seek the light, keep discovering new things and great ideas and whatnot. Things keep growing, but those who get involved in the darkness tend to be self-destructive because it's focusing upon the lower energy centers, distracted by desires and fears of lower frequency levels. Emotions of fear, anxiety, depression, guilt. The emotions we choose to create, based on experience, with negative consequences that can go from the unfortunate to be profound. Or that images from the outside will distract us, so we send our energy in disparate directions. And so the law of attraction, you might say we follow the law of distraction. We'll get back to that later on. So in fact, some high IQ people are thought to be rather eccentric, even mad, are often greatly misunderstood. So we've been doing what we call now the Genius Series, looking at various people in history who have very high IQs and how they contribute to the world, how they were misunderstood, sabotaged, backstabbed, what they're trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish, how they evolved to the point where they were, how their lives might have ended up. It's very interesting. A lot of parallels between people of very, very high IQ. We spoke before about Sir Francis Bacon, and as well as Tesla. Now today we're talking more about Newton. Isaac Newton, a great scientist in England. He discovered many, many fascinating things in the world of science and mathematics and physics, and it really helped change the world. So we're going to just pick up today talking about moving from Tesla to Newton more. Now, in Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead, she wrote about a man called Howard Rourke, or the metaphor there is hard rock. Howard Rourke was this grand architect who created the future, created these brilliant ideas. But he's constantly being attacked and sabotaged, of course, by those who misunderstood him and tried to supplant him and knock him off his course. But he always stood strong in what he believed in. The various characters represent the common day confusion most people represent. For example, one character, I'm talking for Ezra Toomey, once asked him, "What do you think of me?" And Rourke says, "Well, you see, I don't." He just walked away because it was irrelevant to him. He wasn't concerned about the delusions of other people. He focused only upon his higher thoughts and what he's bringing into the world, realizing that no matter what you do in life, you'll often be attacked for it and sabotaged, simply the way it is. So we think he's a metaphor, perhaps created as such, based upon Nikola Tesla. Tesla was very, very similar in respect to this. Tesla at times would, when he was broke, he would actually go out and dig ditches to make money. He had no pride, no real ego about it. He was simply somebody who did what he had to do, very pragmatically. He also had very, very high ideals. He wanted to help the world, wanted to bring new technology to the world. And no matter what it took, he gave everything he could. He didn't understand the greed and selfishness of other people. He understood the higher concepts he was raised with by his mother. His mother loved him very much, unconditional love, and she was a very brilliant, creative person herself, not formally educated, but highly creative, and she taught him how to be creative. And she loved him profoundly, which greatly influenced his self-esteem and self-identity. Because some of the other folks we talked about didn't have that kind of unconditional love in childhood, which had a profound effect. We'll talk about it in a few moments. Now, on January 5th, 1943, Tesla went to see FDR, the president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in the White House. He got in based on his reputation. He's quite well known by then as a brilliant scientist. He told FDR he could stop World War II, which they're in the middle of, by building energy circles. Energy circles around the various cities of the U.S. and Europe to stop the bombing. So the energy fields would stop the bombing, therefore it would end the war. He thought he was doing a great service to mankind, what he was trying to. He returned to New York City. He lived in a New Yorker hotel where he'd been for 10 years, where a friend made mistakes. He'd gone broke. So his ideal is he gave his money away. In any case, 2 days later, January 7th, he was found dead in the New Yorker hotel where he had lived for 10 years. And it's believed that he had been transforming that building into a huge energy generator, paralleling some other work he'd done before in Colorado. In any case, the day he died, there were allegedly many agents, government agents, jumping around his hotel room, boxing up some 60 trunks of his notebooks and ideas, which they took. They took away. So was he considered to be a threat to the U.S.? He had a deal. He made a deal with Russia in 1935 for various research, funded research. So was he killed as a threat to the USA for that reason? Or was he killed at all? Now, we know that various banking cartels and corporations want to keep the war going for more arms to be sold and take back control of the banking system, which the Germans had thrown out in 1933. They threw out the international banking cartel. Very dangerous thing to do, because they, of course, declared war against them to take it back, as well as take back all of Eastern Europe. So the battle was really over banking and money, as it has been throughout history. For thousands, perhaps millions of years, people for control of money, control of assets, control of the world, or the world as it exists at any point in time. In any case, you might well have been seen as a threat should he go to the other side, because the geniuses recognized, they thought, well, if we don't buy his ideas, maybe the other side will, they'll be used against us. Perhaps that was a reasoning. In any case, his creative ideas came from the fountainhead, same as Ayn Rand's Howard Roark. Fountainhead meaning the higher mind. There's a higher mind inside, but above, as it were, in frequency, above all of us. When we access that higher mind, there's a fount of well-being, of insight, of creativity. You can totally transform your world in very profound ways. That the fountain is always there waiting for you to access, once we learn how. In fact, Sir Francis Bacon talked about he would entertain the muse, his muse. And he would go into that deeper state of mind of concentration and access incredible ideas when he created the Shakespearean plays, when he created the whole new basis for science in Novum Organum, where he created the scientific method, 1620, where he helped translate all the great books of the world from Latin and Greek into English. A team of writers helping him do this in England, which he financed, his friends financed at their expense. They then used the Gutenberg Press to help distribute the books throughout the world. So it really helped change the world in many ways. His ideas came from, again, the higher mind, which is always there for all of us. So the world of abstract thinking and the place where ideas are germinated is in that higher mind. It's a world of abstraction where concepts are germinated. Because the person's mind contacts much higher frequencies of energy, much greater insights. So by intense concentration, he accessed the higher mind of ideas. He would concentrate very intensely on things, often for hours at a time. You're similar to deep meditation. You go into a deep, deep state of meditation, your mind will often reveal incredible things to you. So that can be achieved by studying abstract thinking, like studying math and physics, for example, or studying any field. We'll talk about how many people throughout history have done this. The intense concentration of access to ideas, which are really astounding. So with a good and noble heart, Tesla does not understand the avarice and petty insults of other people. All he knew was what he was trying to achieve in the world. He wanted to do great good. It came from his mother. His mother inspired him to do great good in the world, to use his divine power, as it were, his great power, with love energy, to bring to the world, to change the world. The source of inspiration really is the higher mind, which is there for all of us. He applied his ideas to the physical world, helping inventions to help mankind. As a young child, he discovered some things at 6-7 years old, which really helped the town where he lived. He was always very inventive. His mother taught him how to do it, how to access his deep ideas, which he used throughout his whole life. Now, later on, of course, he was cheated by the bankers and by various investors time and time again. He's constantly being ripped off because he's a very honest person. He expected others to be the same. And, of course, many of his people are not. He just wanted to help mankind. He had no idea just how ruthless and corrupt the controlling forces were, and, of course, still are. In the end, it appears they might well have killed him for his ideas. It's been alleged. So, again, how do they access these ideas? You can always do the same. What is the real secret of deep concentration and how you access these higher things? Well, part of it certainly involves learning to be a polymath in your field. Now, polymath means you study everything in your field of endeavor. So, for example, if you're learning how to play, say, guitar, think about Eric Clapton. We talked about him before. Another person who you can certainly call a genius in music, he combined rock and blues of the day and created a whole new form. He created modern-day rock and roll, as it were, in those days, in the 60s, by combining different forms. He did this by intense study and concentration, starting at the age of 13. He was raised in an unfortunate way, and his mother left him. He was born out of wedlock in March of 45. His mother was ashamed about this, so she gave him, as it were, to her parents to raise as their own. And she went to Canada looking for his father, who'd been in the Royal Air Force of Canada. In any case, she couldn't find him. She found someone else. She got married and had some more kids. And years later, Eric found out. His grandmother told him that she was not his real mother. His real mother's coming to visit. He said, well, what are you talking about? So her mother comes, and she denies him. She says, oh, no, you're not my son. She still couldn't admit the fact she had a son out of wedlock. She denied him. He was crushed by this. And he saw her again. That was around 12 or so. He saw her again around 14 in Germany. He went there with his grandparents to see the mother and her children, who she had by a different man. And again, felt totally rejected, totally denied. They denied him again. Oh, no, you're not my son. You're not related to me. The mother could not admit it. So Clapton was crushed by this. He had a massive identity problem. He felt a sense of rejection. Well, a sense of not being loved, not being wanted. So he poured his intense emotions into music. His grandpa bought him a guitar, his first guitar at 13 years old. He started to play very intensely, very obsessively. He started to play like 9, 10, 12, 13 hours a day. Playing nonstop. He carried with him everywhere, to school, to wherever. They had gotten involved in kind of an art school in England where he was studying a lot, creative thinking, whatnot, creative writing, and so forth. Of course, he applied to music, creating music forms. So he very intensely played, and he spent one time traveling all over London trying to find the perfect amplifier for his guitar. He searched high and low, riding a bus around. He's just a kid, 13 years old or so, riding around with an amplifier. I'm sorry, looking for an amplifier, carrying his guitar, looking from guitar store in West London. Finally found exactly the amp he wanted for the sound he wanted. So even then, the kind of sound he wanted to make, so he had a very distinctive sound. Everybody knows he's listening to Clapton. He has a great brilliance in how he produces that. So he was a real perfectionist. And he got there by being a polymath, by intense study of his field of music, by combining different fields of music together, and also by deep concentration, accessing higher ideas, of course, by very intense emotion. Emotions are very powerful, like magnetic fields, and very powerful love energy, of course, can transform the world, really. When you pour love into something, you can learn to do things at a very, very high level, a very powerful level. Because his emotions were mixed, he had a very powerful love for what he was doing, but he had tremendous angst. A tremendous emotional pain at a deep level from what he suffered as a child. So the first step to access these new ideas and whatnot is to be a polymath in your field. So whatever you're doing, whatever your endeavor is, be the best at it. Study it. Be very good at it. Don't just do it in a slipshod kind of way. Don't just do it halfway, think that's okay. Be the best. So push yourself to grow and develop more and more so you perfect what you're doing. And that says you increase your abilities, and others trust you, it will come to you time and time again for the services you offer. If you study everything in your field, and you try to apply it to other fields. That's what polymath does. You apply one field to another, looking for parallels between those fields. So, for example, when I was first studying creativity research, I was going to Maryland University grad school in my dissertation in creativity, access creativity. And one approach is to combine different fields together. It's called synectics. And for example, one point was made that we were working on the underwater breathing apparatus, which is developed by humans. They studied various animals, various fish and other animals who could breathe underwater, and how they work, how the system function to obtain oxygen from the water that they could function upon. And various parallels were made involving the mechanics of that. So studying one field, biology, can often lead to great discoveries in the mechanical field, engineering. So again, studying different fields and combining them together can produce profound insights. You do deep meditation with questions you want answered. So you deeply meditate upon something you want to make happen or discover. You concentrate upon something, your thoughts go to that place. You can often get you amazing answers. They go into the higher mind. The higher mind knows things the ego mind, lower mind, does not know. So you can often ask that higher mind for directions, for advice, for insight. And the key is to be open. Be open to receive, the answers will come. This is a big key also. If you're not open to receive, you have to miss the opportunities as they come along. Folks, today we're talking with Dr. Ryan Dalrymple on Mind Shock, about our genius series, about some of the great geniuses in history, and how you access the higher mind and whatnot, and how you can do the same. We'll take a quick break here and work from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
This show is brought to you by BarkBox, free box to all listeners of Mind Shock. Go to BarkBox.com/MindShock. Do you ever wonder how the mind works? The Endless Question, a film by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, shows you a new theory of mind, one that bridges the road between spirituality and science while revealing to you the laws of creativity, things that can open up your mind to limitless possibilities. It is literally a theory that changes everything. And once you know it, you can apply it to your own life. View The Endless Question for free on Amazon Prime. The Endless Question on Amazon Prime.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure. From outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
Paradise Found 2015 is a film that sparks of intrigue about the discovery of quantum field psychology. Throw in a sexy spy story, a conflict between father and son against the backdrop of NASA, and interspersed with World War II flashback combat scenes, and you'll be surprised to discover the foundation of a whole new theory of mind. Rent or buy Paradise Lost 2015 at Amazon.com and prepare for the explosive conclusion. That's Paradise Lost 2015. At Amazon.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
A complete mind development course, The Inner Manager by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, helps you develop your concentration, memory, imagination, and more, all to help you program your mind towards success. But it's not a boring read. You are taken on a journey with a young man who is trying to start his own business and immerses himself into a journey of self-discovery. A powerful book that you can read again and again. Get The Inner Manager by Dr. Ron Dalrymple at Amazon.com. The Inner Manager at Amazon.com. Remember, positive impact. www.healthylife.net.
Hello, folks. Welcome back. Dr. Ryan Dalrymple on Mind Shock, talking to you about our genius series, talking about some of the great geniuses throughout history to examine how they did it. Was it just DNA? Were they just born with it? Were they just lucky? Did they make it happen? I would say that sure, DNA might be involved in various types of creativity and whatnot, but there's no question they helped make it happen. Whatever you're born with in terms of innate abilities, you must develop those abilities to bring them to fruition, to bring them out. Well, it takes intense study and concentration to make that happen, and persistence over a period of time. Instead of some 10,000 hours or more might be involved in going to a certain field to master that field. So, for example, Clapton playing guitar, you know, some 12, 13 hours a day. For numerous years, he started playing at 13. By 15, he's playing his first band. He kind of shocked people then. They called him Little Eric. He'd walk into, you know, an area and play for some band or whatever, and they'd make fun of him. There's like some little kid there with a big guitar. He started playing, and he blew their minds. He was so good, he's astounding people at that age. By 17 years old, just 4 years after he started playing, he was world famous. He played with John Mayall and the Blues Breakers, and they were over London, expressing Clapton as God. He knew the voice of God, the sound of God. It was so powerful and so pure that he was accessing that higher mind. He's accessing his higher self and bringing that force, that power, into his daily life. He manifested that. That's also parallel to Elvis Presley. Elvis grew up also with some difficulties in childhood, and he would sing by singing gospel in local churches. He would go into the church, and he learned how to tap into that inner force. He would, like, dance with the people he was singing with, and it encouraged him to get into that deeper voice, you know, get into it, get into that power, go within. Which is what he did. He tapped into his higher mind, his higher self. You hear him sing, he goes from, like, four octaves, so he has incredible range of power. There's so much power in his voice, you know, his soul, his energy, his higher self is deeply involved in that expression. I was a kid when he was growing up, so I didn't really appreciate him when he was first out there back in the 50s and 60s. In any case, he came back in 68, his comeback tour, and I couldn't believe how good he was. I heard him on this one show they did tapes, and I was just astounded at how good he was. It was just astounding, the power in his voice. You just mesmerize audiences because the force comes from within. So when you sing, you tap that inner force within, or you think about some of the great singers throughout history. Something like Whitney Houston, for example, who also would tap into that great inner self, that great divine self we all have within us. She would tap into that, and the force that came out was just astounding. So great musicians do that to get in touch emotionally with the higher self and learn how to access it and bring it forth and translate that into the physical world. This is true not just of music, the arts, the sciences, of all creativity, all comes from that higher source. So the key is to be open to answers when they come. So you meditate upon higher ideas and look for answers. You must be open. Now this creates a state of awareness you must try to maintain because answers will come to you all day long. So for example, maybe you're asking for guidance in something you're working on, or maybe you're looking for a new job or whatever. But if you're not open to opportunities, you might walk right past somebody who has one for you. If you're open to it, you have an open state of mind, a certain look in your eye, changes the way you step, the way you act, you act very positive, you relax, you attract people and events to you to help you answer what you're looking for, to bring you great results. The key is never be distracted by the outside world. These people all the time sabotage you and backstab you and criticize you and ridicule you and do whatever they can to put a knife in your back to try to get ahead of you. It's just bizarre what people would do, often vindictively. For no reason. Like one person starts a rumor, for example, others believe it. It's a false rumor. But then they buy into it, and pretty soon a whole lot of people believe it. And they get stronger and stronger emotionally as they viciously attack and destroy somebody. So rumor mongering and gossiping is very, very powerful and very negative. That's using the inner powers in the wrong way to harm other people. And those who rumor monger and gossip and harm other people, of course, always pay a karmic debt. Remember, you pay a karmic debt for everything you do. We must be careful what we do. We put forth positive thoughts, positive feelings, positive energy as best we can and not get drawn into negativity of those around us. Because if we try to be like the Joneses to keep up with them, we get lost in the ego mind. We get lost in competing with other people, trying to best them at something which doesn't matter at all. Many folks get caught up in ego trips over money, over power, over accomplishments, over whatever. It's a total waste of energy. So when you brag about yourself, you'll find that nobody cares but you. You take the great creative people in the world, take Clapton. Clapton's very, very humble. doesn't brag, he doesn't show off. He's very, very humble, he always has been. He's just a brilliant musician. He's often said, well, I have no idea why people are so interested in my playing. I just play music. I just play guitar. You know, I just play what I feel. He doesn't understand the fact that he's, like, radiated to the whole world because he's tapped that inner nerve, people, that inner sense. The inner light is activated by people who can affect them in that manner. This is true of many creative people. They don't understand the trips of others. This is also true of Sir Francis Bacon. He's a profoundly creative, brilliant person who is often castigated by others. Many people knew he was the unacknowledged firstborn son of Queen Elizabeth. He was a genius himself, of course. He wrote a Shakespearean play, according to many sources. He also created a scientific method I mentioned earlier. Many other things. He translated works of the world from Latin and Greek and English. He really helped change the world. He also helped found America and helped found the principles America is based upon by his writings and whatnot in his book called The New Atlantis. He also sent many of his emissaries, his trained people, as it were, from various lodges and whatnot in Europe to America to help establish a free country. He truly helped to change the world, and yet he was treated in his day with great aspersions, great attacks and sabotage, because his mother refused to acknowledge him. He would have been the king, King Francis I, in 1603. But her enemies, various families, his enemies, sabotaged all that and blocked it. And the mother would not fully acknowledge him openly, so he was pushed aside. And then King James VI of Scotland was made King James I of England. It brought him a whole different line of development. And very slowly, corruption allegedly flew from that regime. But Bacon would have brought to the world a much greater impact of the Renaissance, the days of light, transformed the world to a higher state of consciousness. He's also someone who didn't understand fully why people were so evil towards him and sabotaging him, because wise enough to know it had to do with power, of course, that they feared him taking power in revenge against him for all they'd done against him to block and sabotage him. It's astounding. Tesla, of course, was also attacked by Edison, allegedly by others, to block him, to block his growth and development. He tried to use him, others tried to block and sabotage him, take advantage of him, of his general openness. So the person is a person of light, creativity. Remember, they're often surrounded by wolves and hyenas. Those who will take advantage of them, will hound after them, will scratch at their door trying to get in, try to find some way to manipulate and use them, try to even destroy them. It's most unfortunate. The world often destroys its geniuses and throws them aside because they're a threat to the system. In any case, we must keep an open mind to receive, open to receive these higher ideas. Once we put forth concentration after them, because opportunities can come and go very, very quickly. In the blink of an eye, it might be gone. It might miss just like that. So, folks, here today is Dr. Ron Dalrymple and Mind Shock, talking about our genius series, which is a lot of fun because it gets into some really powerful, powerful information and insights about how we ourselves, how everybody can activate access to that higher mind and totally transform your life and help the world. Folks, we'll be back in a second. So where's my sponsors? Dr. Ron Dalrymple, we'll come right back.
Here's a fun, stimulating program that can teach you how to develop your own powers of creation. It uses a three-part mind, stimulating approach to get you to develop your own creative thinking. It will help you create a powerful self-image and helps you see how you can take creative action. You'll develop your thinking power and your skills, and you can do this in 8 days. Get Dr. Ron Dalrymple's book, 8 Days to Creative Power, on Amazon.com. Overcome your problems with the step-by-step guide. So get 8 Days to Creative Power on Amazon.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
A complete mind development course, The Inner Manager by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, helps you develop your concentration, memory, imagination, and more. All to help you program your mind towards success. But it's not a boring read. You are taken on a journey with a young man who is trying to start his own business and immerses himself into a journey of self-discovery. A powerful book that you can read again and again. Get The Inner Manager by Dr. Ron Dalrymple at Amazon.com. The Inner Manager at Amazon.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Do you ever wonder how the mind works? The Endless Question, a film by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, shows you a new theory of mind, one that bridges the road between spirituality and science while revealing to you the laws of creativity, things that can open up your mind to limitless possibilities. It is literally a theory that changes everything, and once you know it, you can apply it to your own life. View The Endless Question for free on Amazon Prime. The Endless Question on Amazon Prime.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hello, folks. Welcome back. Dr. Ryan Dalrymple on Mind Shock, talking today about our genius series about the higher powers of mind, how all of us, with a normal functioning brain that is, normal health and whatnot, can access these higher powers and bring them forth into our world to do incredible things. Many people live lives of quiet desperation, not realizing what they have inside them, not realizing the powers they have, and often missing opportunities as they come and go very quickly. I used to tell a story. I was teaching college and seminars and whatnot, that think about this metaphor. Those of you who love football will like this, perhaps. Think about you're in the Super Bowl. Let's say you're playing tight end. Your team is down by 5 points. So a 6-point touchdown will win the game. Let's say you're running downfield. You have blockers and pass interferers all around you, trying to block you and stop you. You run down towards the end zone. There's like a second to play. You leap into the air. The pass is coming to you. You reach up with all your might and stretch out your fingers. Your fingers are barely touching the football. And with all your might and all your power, you're trying to bring that pass in. But in that nanosecond lies your future. This is more of an extreme example, but think about that. Your future is profoundly affected by what happens next. If you catch that ball and bring it in, score that touchdown, your team wins the game, you win the Super Bowl, and you are the hero of the Super Bowl. Everyone wants to be the hero. That's a big, big dream, big idea, right? So that's one possibility. Another is that, supposing you miss the pass, supposing you fumble the ball, supposing you miss it, you'll be remembered forever as a guy who lost the Super Bowl. And it might be the end of your career. Team might drop you, you'd be disparaged by the media, you'd be attacked a lot, people make up names to call you and so forth, and your name turns to mud. So thinking that nanosecond, an opportunity can change your life one way or the other, which happens to all of us in lesser form, not quite that dramatic, quite often. We have opportunities that are before us. We see a constraint on when you make something happen in your life, when certain opportunities that come up, but then you miss the opportunity as it comes by. Because you're not in the right mood, you're not quite awake yet that day, you're not feeling very friendly, whatever. So you miss it. You drop the ball. And how many times in your lives has this happened? Well, it's probably happened to all of us quite a few times. We just missed the opportunity. We didn't realize perhaps till later. Or, let's say we missed something because we didn't properly research it. We didn't dig deep enough. We didn't study enough on all sides. We didn't learn to polymath enough to figure out how to do something. So we made a mistake. And we pay for that. But the good news is we learned, because the real key is keep expanding our state of consciousness, keep growing, keep expanding. The mistakes upon earth can be a good thing if they teach us and if we learn from them. In any case, you need to stay in a certain state of consciousness to make this happen. We talked before about maintaining a state of mind called equipoise, or balance of thought and emotion, where you're relaxed, you're harmonious, you're peaceful, your thoughts are relaxed and peaceful, and so are your emotions. Remember, emotions are very, very powerful. If you shift into negative emotions, even for a few seconds, you might generate enough negative energy that you make things come back to you that are very negative. Especially as you build your energy up by studying these techniques, by increasing your energy, by increasing your personal power, and a shift into negative, you briefly can make very negative things happen. So you must be very, very careful. Always use the energy in a positive way and not just throw it out there in a negative form. I'm going to stay in a relaxed state of mind, of equipoise, positive thoughts at all times, trying to think positive, feel positive at all times. This takes some effort. It takes to be aware of your thoughts and emotions, especially as they stray into the negative. So you might say, stop, I'm not going to think that, I'm not going to feel that. It's a little technique called thought stopping, where you stop your thoughts from negative and put them in a positive form instead. Even more so, your powerful emotions, you should through negative powerful emotions, you're generating negative things that come back to you. So think of a competition who tried to destroy Bacon, who tried to destroy Tesla, who tried to destroy Newton, we'll get into a little bit later on. These folks were more in a negative state, more into egos. They want to destroy somebody who is of great, great power and great creativity. Like Jonathan Swift, the famous writer, satirist, probably said it best. He said, you can always tell a true genius coming to the world because all the dunces are allied against him. Right? Think about that. All the dunces are allied against him. So they quickly ally up and attack and sabotage someone who threatens them. And they'll try to destroy that person because they're what's called a rate buster. They're busting the system, pushing in a new direction. So the vast majority can't keep up. They're threatened by it. So they destroy that person instead, which is also self-destructive for the society. In any case, you maintain an equipoise, you can create amazing things. Like, say you spend most of your time in a state of mind, and things you think about and feel strongly, you're tending to make happen. They'll tend to come to you. Because your thoughts and your emotions are able to generate those in circumstances and whatnot to bring those results back to you. A lot of folks don't believe that. If you're stuck into the material mind, the three-dimensional mind, you say, oh, it's a bunch of baloney. It's rubbish. But when you train yourself to think and feel that way, you will be amazed at what happens. You might try to push it scientifically. If you're a true scientist, why not try it? And a true scientist is not to spell something without trying it. So your open mind must be there at all times. You're flexible. You must be a flexible thinker. And trying a new mode of thought here could open up a whole new world for an individual. So you're in a state of equipoise, you shift out of it, you can easily dissolve what you just created. That's the other side of it. You can easily dissolve what you're trying to create. This is why so many people fail at the law of attraction. The law of attraction, I remember a couple decades ago, the idea that what you think and feel you're making happen, but you also can destroy it. Some folks think, well, you just put it out there, you desire for something, it's going to manifest. Well, no, there's a lot more to it than that. So the powers of visualization must be used, where you visualize the end result you want very clearly. You have a very clear vision of what you want to make happen, very clear, very distinct. You see in profound detail, great color. You hear it, you see it, you smell it, you feel it, using all your senses. And most importantly, you love it. You love the image of what you want to create. Make sure it's not going to harm anybody else. It's good for all people. It's good for you. It's good for everybody else. It helps the whole world, lifts everybody up. You put a lot of power and love into it, and you release it, and know that it's manifested. You have total faith in the fact it's going to manifest. When you think of it, you do the same thing. You put power up there in that form, and you also let go of it. You don't worry about it. If you doubt it, you destroy it. Your lack of faith dissolves it. So you see, it's a whole different way of thinking about the world. It changes everything, because I was raised in three-dimensional thought and whatnot. I was taught that's how science works. The world's three-dimensional. Your thoughts and emotions, nothing to do with it. Well, I scared myself various times, various experiences I had, that simply wasn't true. The thoughts and emotions do interact with the world and with other people in many profound ways. Some of our new books are talking about that. So it's a process we'll be covering as we go along. We're also doing a lot of coaching now, business and personal interests. So coaching, of course, is very powerful. Coaching has been described as the most powerful force for change, for positive change in the world. It really is, because personal coaching, business coaching, can help somebody go from where you are in your world right now to a much higher state where you can create for yourself astounding things. Think of the greatest successes in the world. They got there not by accident. They got there by intent. They learned how to make it happen. They learned how to focus their thoughts, their emotions, their behavior in a way to manifest for themselves incredible things. We all have the ability. Let's train ourselves for that. Think of the great people in sports. Ted Williams trained himself, for example, to be a great hitter. He's the biggest guy in the world. He studied the art of batting scientifically. So there's an art to it. So folks, here today, Dr. Ron Dalrymple on Mind Shock. So we've got a genius series. We have more to come. Stick with you. Right back.
Hey. Paradise Found, 2015, is a film that sparks of intrigue about the discovery of quantum field psychology. Throw in a sexy spy story, a conflict between father and son against the backdrop of NASA, and interspersed with World War II flashback combat scenes, and you'll be surprised to discover the foundation of a whole new theory of mind. Rent or buy Paradise Lost 2015 at Amazon.com and prepare for the explosive conclusion. That's Paradise Lost 2015 at Amazon.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Do you ever wonder how the mind works? The Endless Question, a film by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, shows you a new theory of mind, one that bridges the road between spirituality and science while revealing to you the laws of creativity, things that can open up your mind to limitless possibilities. It is literally a theory that changes everything, and once you know it, you can apply it to your own life. View The Endless Question for free on Amazon Prime. The Endless Question on Amazon Prime.
This is Jack Maher from the band Feed the Kitty. It's important to support the artists you love, and you can do that and get something authentic for yourself. Rock.com has the most coveted licensed merchandise of music, culture, and entertainment. So go to the advertiser page and click on Rock.com now.
Quantum Field Psychology, Second Edition, is an astounding book on the new theory of mind. It is the first unified field theory that incorporates the influence of the mind and emotion on physical reality, the universe, and even other minds. It actually integrates all modern psychology with quantum physics, mathematics, Western and Eastern spiritual beliefs. It's the true bridge between science and spirituality. Get your copy of Quantum Field Psychology, Second Edition, by Dr. Ron Dalrymple, on Amazon.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hello, folks. Welcome back. Dr. Ron Dalrymple on Mind Shock. Back with more information, more ideas about our Genius Series. We were just talking about Ted Williams, a great baseball player, great hitter, who became great by studying the physics of motion. He's swinging a bat, hitting the ball. He studied sitting in front of a mirror, studied his own actions, his own movements. You think about hitting a fastball, a curveball, a drop, a slider, whatever. You think about all the different pitches coming at him and figure out how to swing to hit that pitch best. And also, he used physics. He used forces equals mass times acceleration. Where you accelerate into the hit. He moved into it. He twists his body at the hips. Also, he twists his upper body. He also twists his wrists very powerfully to hit the ball. Because that force of acceleration puts much more power into the hit. He's a power hitter based upon physics. Not upon size and brute strength, more like Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth is a big, powerful guy. Also a great hitter, also a great strikeout king. Ted Williams studied the art and physics of how to hit. So, again, he's a polymath, as it were, in his field. He discovered how to do it. So our goal in coaching and business and whatnot is to help the individual discover for them the most powerful way and successful way to tap into your own inner resources and your own personality and use those to bring those forth in your life to create the success you want. Each person deserves success. We often sabotage ourselves and stumble over our own feet, as it were, because we make a lot of mistakes based on childhood, make various blunders, get into negative states of mind. We sabotage ourselves, but it's important to learn how to overcome all that and figure out what's blocking us from within, and also how to create our highest aspirations. So we focus upon building our highest dreams and whatnot, and also what's blocking us. How do we do it? How do we get there? It takes a lot to get there. It might sound easy, but it's not. It's a lot. Step-by-step process. In any case, you can contact me on Facebook. Go to Dr. Ron Dalrymple on Facebook, or go to my email, Dr. Ron Dal, DrRonDal, hotmail.com, DrRonDal, hotmail.com. Check it out. Contact us. We'll talk to you about coaching. In any case, let's move on now to Sir Isaac Newton. Newton, of course, is a great, great genius in polymath in England back in the 1600s who discovered amazing things. He has very fascinating parallels to Tesla and to Bacon. right? Very, very interesting. So how do you create his theories? Well, he compared real world with a simple mathematical representation of it. He studied the real world. He studied the motion of planets, for example, and gravitational fields, gravitational waves, and whatnot. He studied how planets moved about the solar system, about the galaxy. This is a big thing in his day, trying to figure these things out, which presaged the era of NASA that I grew up in. In any case, we did the same thing with our theory of quantum field psychology, which compared the functions of the mind with mathematical representations of it. So Newton created mathematical representations of the universe and solar systems and whatnot. We created those for the human mind, how it works as an energy field. So interesting parallels there. In any case, the high point of scientific revolution was his discovery of universal gravitation, that is, all matter has gravity. So all objects attract each other proportional to a product of their masses and inversely proportional to the square of their separation. So the bigger they are, the more they attract, and also it's inversely related to how far apart they are. Say. Makes sense, right? From 1685, when he was 42 years old, you see he was influenced by Hooke's work on curved motion. Hooke was a little scientist in that era. He had a lot of debates and differences and whatnot. Hooke was more established than he was early on. He had a lot of jealousy, whatnot, insecurity. In any case, Hooke's ideas eventually led Newton to discover the planets move in an ellipse, not a circle about the sun, but an elliptical type motion. So they're shaped more like a big egg moving out and around. So rotating planets held in place by centripetal force toward the central object, the sun. So at times it's a combining of minds that leads to profound answers. So here, controversy can lead to more insight because people will debate things and whatnot, might combine their ideas or insights to arrive at higher conclusions. So each person's a piece of it. So Hooke had the idea here, and Newton did the math for it. Just like Edison had an idea for Tesla, for example, for generators, and Tesla could have a fix the generators, Edison has a fix. So Tesla could work things out. So concentration on an idea, remember, leads to insight. Intense concentration, focused concentration, leads to insight. Newton was known to be able to study, like a leaf of grass, for example, for a long period of time. He's studying the leaf of grass, so his mind would go into it. He studied it in profound ways. What he was seeing, he studied like the structure of it, imagine the molecules of it, the atoms of it, whatever, how it worked, how it breathed, how it moved fluids around within in it. He had profound imagination and profound concentration. And that intense study led to great insights, especially when you pour love into it and love what you're doing. It's important to love what you're doing. So love energy conveys light that illuminates ideas. Love energy itself is light. It conveys light that illuminates ideas. So love, light, illuminates. Very, very powerful force. So love what you do and concentrate on pouring love into it, not fear. Don't let fear, anxiety, doubt, or guilt ever get into your way. Don't let those emotions ever pop up. They do, say, nope, not going to feel that. Brush them aside. Focus on joy, harmony, love. Instead, realize those great powers are inside of you. So you focus upon the fact that you are a high-frequency, high-energy being. You are that great creator. You are that very powerful person who can bring into the world astounding things, and you can and will every day if you work on that and let yourself do so. Do not be distracted by the negativity of other people. Their naysayers, as backstabbers, always will try to knock you down, try to step on you, try to walk all over you for their own benefit, for their egos. It's amazing how they do this, helping gang up on you and whatnot to attack you. Remember what John Swift said, all the dozens are allied against you, well, so be it. So you have to understand that, well, fine, that's how it works. But you proceed forward, your creativity and bring to the world what you can. So love what you do, and concentrate and point love into it, not fear. Newton's father now died in war when he was about 3 years old. His mother was left with some money. She then married a minister who was fairly wealthy in those days. He also had money, so she became quite wealthy. She went to live with him, and she gave Newton to her parents to raise. Now, who's that sound like? Eric Clapton, right? Same thing happened to him. His mother gave him away, right? Early in childhood. So that separation from his mother early in childhood caused a sense of abandonment, of rejection. She also went to live with the minister for some 7 years. He was abandoned and rejected, and it sowed the seeds of much deeper insecurity, much deeper pathology. So here he had this brilliant person who was separated from his connection with his mother at a very, very early age. Raised by someone who did not love him the same degree, no doubt. He didn't love her the same degree. Right? Later on, his mother refused to pay for his going to Cambridge. But he's a brilliant student. His mentors recognize his brilliance, so they arrange a scholarship for him to go to Cambridge. Remember, Cambridge was created, we talked about some time ago, by Henry Yates. Right? Henry Yates created it, a special school. He, of course, was the father of Luther I, his mother of Francis Bacon. Right? Very, very interesting, right? So in any case, Newton was going there. He had a scholarship, but to help pay for his education, he had to do some really humiliating things. In those days, they didn't have bathrooms, right? They had, like, toilet bowls, you know, pots, right, inside rooms. And somebody had emptied those pots out periodically. And so poor Newton, this brilliant guy, this very sensitive guy, this great soul, one of the greatest minds in history, had to empty the toilet pans of his more wealthy classmates. So you can imagine these kids, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old, laughing at him, humiliating him, as he's carrying out of the room their toiletry. So imagine this. One of the most gifted people in the world, emptying toilet bowls, a bunch of spoiled rich brats, right? Astounding. Who ridiculed him openly for it, of course. He, of course, is deeply humiliated. This is a guy who was rejected in his young life, at 3 years old, by his mother, right? His mother also rejected him for college. He wouldn't pay for it. So he felt left out, you know, run over already. Here he is in college, studying brilliant stuff and blowing away his mentors and professors, but also being humiliated and rejected by these other kids who he had to wait on in this most disgusting way. So you can imagine his humiliation. A profoundly sensitive person, he felt deeply the sneers and insults of other people. It really hurt, right? So, his early part of his life, he's a deeply introverted character, and fiercely protective of his privacy. It's made him withdraw, right? He got from other people, sense of humiliation, rejection of being attacked. Even later in maturity, he became very rich and famous, laden with honors and internationally acclaimed, some of the world's greatest thinkers. He remained deeply insecure, given the fits of depression, outbursts of violent temper, and implacable in pursuit of anyone by whom he felt threatened. So this affected him profoundly throughout his life. He never resolved it. And he had therapists back then, right? So you can imagine what he went through. So think about somebody who's hurt deeply. If one person says not very caring or feeling, it may not affect them much. Imagine somebody who's profoundly feeling, profoundly sensitive. He was deeply hurt by the attacks and scorn of other people. That was him. So in any case, folks, we're talking about the evolution as well as development of genius. We're talking about how various people in the world have manifested incredible things. The thought being that all of us have great powers inside us. We have a lot more coming in the series, the Genius series, so check out our books, check out our film, The Endless Question, on Amazon Prime. Our books are about creativity. We have a new one out called Mind Games People Play. The negative side of things is also an audiobook coming out soon about that, I hope, if it gets done. So, we have a lot of things in the works, so check it out, folks. And our books are all on Amazon. There's Dinner Manager, I Love You, God. It's the Quantum Field Psychology, the Theory Itself. A bunch of books on there. We have a lot more in production right now, a lot of things we're doing, bring these ideas to the world. So, folks, thanks a lot. Hang in there. Check out these works. Think positive. Know you have great powers inside you. You can activate them at your will. It takes some work, but it's really worth it. So take care, folks. All the best. God bless. Dr. Ron Dalrymple signing off from Mind Shock.